"How interesting," I said, attempting to infuse just the right amount of enthusiasm into my voice. "Oh, yes, when one is not married, it is necessary. As for me, I've had all I wanted from women without marriage." He tucked his napkin into his collar and blew upon his soup as he spoke. "Now at 9 o'clock I make myself an English breakfast, but not much. 4 slices of bread, 2 eggs, 2 slices of cold ham, 1 plate of soup, 2 cups of tea. That is nothing to you." He asserted the fact so vehemently that I had not the courage to refute it. All eyes were suddenly turned upon me. I felt I was bearing the burden of the nation's preposterous breakfast, I who drank a cup of coffee while buttoning my blouse in the morning. "Nothing at all," cried Herr Hoffmann from Berlin. "Ach, when I was in England in the morning, I used to eat." He turned up his eyes and his mustache, wiping the soup drippings from his coat and waistcoat. "Do they really eat so much?" asked Fräulein Steigelauer. "Soup and baker's bread and pig's flesh and tea and coffee and stewed fruit and honey and eggs and cold fish and kidneys and hot fish and liver. All the ladies eat, too, especially the ladies." "Certainly. I myself have noticed it when I was living in a hotel in Leicester Square," cried the Herr Rat. "It was a good hotel, but they could not make tea. Now, ah, that's one thing I can do," said I, laughing brightly. "I can make very good tea. The great secret is to warm the teapot." "Warm the teapot," interrupted the Herr Rat, pushing away his soup plate. "What do you warm the teapot for? Ha, 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 that's very good. One does not eat the teapot, I suppose." He fixed his cold blue eyes upon me with an expression which suggested 1,000 premeditated invasions. "So that is the great secret of your English tea. All you do is to warm the teapot." I wanted to say that was only the preliminary canter, but could not translate it, and so was silent. The servant brought in veal, with sauerkraut and potatoes. "I eat sauerkraut with great pleasure," said the traveller from North Germany. "But now I have eaten so much of it that I cannot retain it. I am immediately forced to—" "A beautiful day," I cried, turning to Fräulein Steigelauer. "Did you get up early?" "At 5 o'clock. I walked for 10 minutes in the wet grass. Again in bed. At 5:30 I fell asleep, and woke at 7, when I made an overbody washing. Again in bed. At 8 o'clock I had a cold water poultice, and at 8:30 I drank a cup of mint tea. At 9 I drank some malt coffee, and began my cure. Pass me the sauerkraut, please." "You do not eat it?" "No, thank you. I still find it a little strong." "Is it true," asked the widow, picking her teeth with a hairpin as she spoke, "that you are a vegetarian?" "Why, yes. I have not eaten meat for 3 years." "Impossible. Have you any family?" "No." "There now, you see, that's what you're coming to. Who ever heard of having children upon vegetables? It is not possible. But you never have large families in England now. I suppose you are too busy with your suffragetting. Now I've had 9 children, and they're all alive, thank God. Fine, healthy babies. Though after the first one was born I had to—" "How wonderful!" I cried. "Wonderful," said the widow contemptuously, replacing the hairpin in the knob, which was balanced on the top of her head. "Not at all. A friend of mine had 4 at the same time. Her husband was so pleased he gave a supper party and had them placed on the table. Of course she was very proud." "Germany," boomed the traveller, biting round a potato, which he had speared with his knife, "is the home of the family." Followed an appreciative silence. The dishes were changed for beef, red currants, and spinach. They wiped their forks upon black bread and started again. "How long are you remaining here?" asked the Herr Rat. "I do not know exactly. I must be back in London in September." "Of course, you'll visit Munich."